As has been said this morning, today is around the country is Father's Day, and it's a great day of tribute and respect and honor we give to fathers as they are due. The Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. We're also aware that days like this, Mother's Day is like it as well, is for a lot of people who did not have good childhoods, days like this can be difficult. For any number of reasons, so let's keep those people in mind as well, that today is not a celebration for everyone, but we are thankful there is a day that we can celebrate good, honorable, decent fathers and the ones who have led their families in the way that God would want them to be led. So we're thankful for that this morning. As we begin our lesson today, before we begin our lesson, we will have a prayer. Let's remember, of course, as Mike said earlier, Betsy Potts. Bill ruled at our gospel meeting last year, and that's his daughter. And just about a month ago, found a bruise on her arm, and didn't know why it was there, went to the doctor and had a very aggressive form of leukemia, and she declined very quickly, and seems to be on the verge of death this morning, and so we need to remember that family again this morning. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for abundant blessings. We are thankful for this beautiful day. We know that this is the first day of the week, and we are coming together today to worship and praise you for being the only true living God, for you giving us your Son to die for us so that we could be saved. We pray this morning that you bless the Potts family and the Rule family and be with Betsy. Strengthen that family, give them support and comfort, and surround them with people who love them to help them through this very difficult hour. We know there are many others who have been ill and have recovered, many who are still away from us this morning due to various illness. And we pray that you bless each life. We know that you love us and care for us each day. We know that you never leave us. Your love never wavers, no matter what may happen in this life. We pray that fathers around this country and fathers in this congregation will do your will in their families. They will be the type of men that you need them to be, because if they do that, we know they'll have strong families, and that means there'll be strong churches. And we know that the kingdom will grow. So give them the courage they need to be the leaders, the spiritual leaders they need to be in their families. Continue to watch over us and guide us and bless us. Give us the mercy and grace that we need, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was born at Baptist Hospital. Today is St. Thomas Midtown, I think, but if I said Baptist Hospital, you go to Baptist Hospital. You know where that is. At the time, and I think it's still the case today, they are known for deliveries, known to be a hospital and where a lot of women have gone over the years to deliver their babies. Statistically speaking, if you went to whatever floor that is at Baptist Hospital, the labor and delivery, and you went up and down and saw up to the window where all the new babies are there in the nursery, and you counted 10 babies, just any 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Four of those babies are being born to women who are not married to their fathers. 40% of the babies born in America today are born into families without biological parents being married to one another. Quite an alarming statistic. And that covers all groups, all ages. That's the average of all babies born in this country are born out of wedlock. It's interesting, and probably goes hand in hand, that $5 billion more dollars a year are spent on Mother's Day than Father's Day. Isn't that interesting? Probably having something to do with the fact that mothers are sacrificing more. And I know that we tend to be closer, whether you're a son or daughter, you tend to be a little closer to mom. The things she had to do and sacrifices she made, particularly when you were younger. But fatherhood is declining in America. been happening again for several decades. There's any number of reasons for that, and our purpose today is not to get into the social science of that. But we can look in the Bible, and I think we see that so many men are not living in just simply the way the Bible teaches them to live, and that shows itself in the children that they bring into this world and the type of care they give those children. Is this the kind of father you are? There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do, and a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the little fella's idol. You're the wisest of the wise, and his little mind about you, no suspicions ever arise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do, he will say and do in your way when he's grown up like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You're setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. Is that what your children are thinking about you, fathers? Is that their perspective on your relationship with them? Some fathers are villains. We mentioned that a moment ago. For those of you that hopefully were not raised in a household like that, but sometimes that is the case, where dad is a villain. He is to be feared. He is someone who abuses or neglects or discards, and we know about the lifetime of problems that causes for young people, psychologically, emotionally, and how they become fathers, or they become mothers one day. Those children only live one life. They don't get to live five or six different childhoods and then pick the one that they want to be like. They don't do that. They don't get to do that. You didn't do that when you were growing up. Well, I'm going to be like this dad because I had five or six of them. I'm going to choose that one. I always just have one childhood and one experience that way. And for some, it wasn't good. Some fathers are like that. Other fathers are, we say, they're just more or less like doormats. You may have known some like that that have really no relationship with their wives, no relationship with their children. They're just sort of there. They pay bills. They don't say much. They don't do much. They're not active in anything. They don't have anything to do with the church. They don't have anything to do with the things going on at school for their children. That's for mom. That's their thing. And dad just does his thing and separated from the rest of the family. Some fathers are like that. There are other fathers who are heroes, that are true leaders by what they say and what they do. Somebody once said that heroes are not the ones who never fail, they're just the ones who never give up. And so your father may have been that way, and you may be that father for somebody who just says, yeah, I know I'm going to make a mistake, and yes, I'm going to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing sometimes, but I'm not going to give up on mom, I'm not going to give up on you, I'm not going to give up on the Lord. And those are the kind of fathers that we honor on days like this. I want us to think of the word father for the remainder of our time this morning. Look at each letter of that word. You say there's a lot of letters. Is that going to take a long time? No, it's not. We are going to look at the word Father and see all the characteristics, I think, that are in God's word about godly fathers. Letter F is going to stand for faithful. True godly fathers are faithful. Some fathers think church is for kids, church is for women. I've been a member of a lot of congregations in Middle Tennessee, have preached for two, and have been asked to speak for many others, one time here, one time there, and other places. And there's not a church that I go to or been part of where the women don't outnumber the men. Always more women in the room. Any number of reasons that's the case, but a lot of times in American culture and the way we live now, the stats that I showed earlier, there's men are somewhere else. That creates a challenge for a lot of churches when it comes to things that need to be done in the church. The women
so often are eager to be there. They are there. They're involved.
And when it comes time for men to do, where is he? Where'd he go? He's not around. Godly fathers are faithful. You look in the Bible, famous statement that was made by Joshua that we're very familiar with, when he says, "You choose who this day you will serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." Notice he says, I'm not going to compel you to serve the Lord. You have a choice in the matter, just like I have a choice in the matter.
I know that there are other gods that I can choose, or that people say think exist, and they go after those people or those ideas. But I also know the real God. He said, I'm going to go after and serve him. You decide. You make the same decision. He said, as for me and my house. When God goes this way, I'm going that way, and mom and the kids are going with me. I will be sure of that. As long as they're in my household and I have that degree of influence on their lives, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
So interesting in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 5 talks about husbands and wives, and then when it bleeds over a little bit in chapter 6 where Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, in verse 1. Then it gets down to verse 4, and we sort of mix around verse 4 a little bit, sort of apply it to parents. Verse 4 is not about parents. It's not both. Paul addresses it and he says, I have an instruction for fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, dads, that's on you. We usually just say, well, parents, and we apply that to mom. And yes, that is a joint effort for mom and dad. But Paul said, I'm looking at you. He had a verse for the children. Earlier he was talking about husbands and wives and how they treat each other. And then he zeroes in on dads and how dads are to their children. And he says, you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You be faithful. You be in charge of that. That's not for the women and the children. And while you sit back and say, well, that's church things. That's not for me. The Bible says otherwise. Fathers also need to be alert. The F stands for faithful. The A stands for alert. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. Fathers need to be alert. Here, the writer of Proverbs is saying, describing a father talking to a son. And he says, I want to talk about your friends. He said, they are going to give you a message, and mom and dad are going to give you a message. Notice he says, listen to me, listen to mom. What we're saying is going to be like an ornament. It's going to be like a great gift. And he said, but these people over here, they're going to say, hey, come in with us. Throw your money in with us. Do what we do. Look what we're going to do. We're going to take advantage of people. We're going to steal. We're going to have a big time. We're going to get ahead in life. He said, don't follow them. Don't listen to that message. Listen to mom and dad and what we tell you. Dads, are you alert to the messages that your children are receiving? Do you know who their friends are? Do you know if they go to the house of the other person? Do you have any idea what goes on in that house and what their parents are up to and what they believe and where they might take your child? You're not around. Do you know the names? Do you know the places? Your kids are going to get mad at you when you do all those kind of things, but they'll get over it. You got to be alert. It's harder now than ever to be aware of the messages your children are receiving. And I always find it very helpful that you talk about those things off hours. What I mean by that is, when that child wants to go off somewhere, and you don't want them to go, and that argument comes up, you got to talk about it then or whatever. Usually a little more effective when you have that conversation off hours, when everything's good. When
they're not going somewhere, when you're everything's great and you're driving down the road in the car together, and you can say, hey, let's talk about a couple of things. Let's talk about where you go, what you say. And by the way, here's why what I'm trying to protect you from. When emotions are cool and a normal conversation can happen and things can get explained a little bit easier. Fathers are faithful, fathers are alert. But there is also tenderness. The letter T in the word father stands for tenderness. Carl Sandburg was the leading biographer of Abraham Lincoln. He wrote the famous biography of Abraham Lincoln, one of the earliest biographies. So there's a little more detail, and you can be a little bit more trusted, of course, closer to the time that he lived. And Carl Sandburg said that Abraham Lincoln was famously said he was a man of steel and velvet. Steel and velvet. You see, we have this idea of fathers today is it's all about steel. Fathers do rugged things. They fix things. They move things. They're involved in all that type of thing, teaching their children to be tough and strong and be manly. And there's a time for all of that. But that's not all they should be, because there's times when dads have to be tender. They have to show compassion. They have to show sympathy. They too have to be the one that the son or daughter comes to and says, I got to talk about something that's very personal and kind of scary. And I'm already scared enough, and I don't need to be scared of dad at the same time. Fathers have to be steel and velvet. That doesn't make them weak or wimpy. It just makes them good dads. Faithful, alert, tender. Also hopeful. That's the letter H in the word fathers. Fathers, good godly fathers, are hopeful. It's very hard to be optimistic in a scary world. Dad many times is the breadwinner, we say. Dad usually does bring in the greatest portion of the income for the family. It's just usually the case. That changes now in our economy in America, but typically that's still very much the case. Sometimes dad loses his job, gets laid off, and can he still be hopeful for the family in those situations? When times change, when things are difficult in the family, when the problems arise, when there's problems with the aunts and the uncles and the cousins, but can dad be the one to say, hey, things are going to work out. We're going to be okay. We're going to be fine. Some of you used to watch probably Little House on the Prairie. Came on the late 70s and through about the mid-80s, Charles Ingalls was always hopeful. He was always the guy in the family, the dad that says, we're going to make it. Times are tough, but we're going to hang in there. Don't run off somewhere else. We're going to get through this together. Somebody, a man named Hal Lindsey, once said, I can live 40 days without food, 8 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but only a few seconds without hope. Somebody also once said that happiness is having someone to love, something to do, and something to hope for. And thinking about that statement, you can see that dads can fit all of that. Dads can give you someone to love. Dads can give you something to do. And hopefully dads can give you something to hope for. And so they can provide a level of happiness in the family. He's faithful, he's alert, he's tender, he's hopeful. He's also very encouraging. For some reason, men tend to be fathers versus mothers. Fathers tend to be more, you're going to break your neck if you do that. Why are you going to do that? That's never going to work. So on and so forth. Mom tends to be a little more encouraging, a little more optimistic about things.
dads can probably do a little better about being encouraging. Somebody said that in his family, a man said that, I try to make a point every day to give 5 compliments to people in my family.
Mom might get 3, the son might get 1, another one over here, the next day it may be different. But I try to say something, even if it's very simple and very common and something I've said 100 times before, I want to give one type of compliment, encouragement, good word to people in my family. I want people to feel good when they're around me. I want people to trust me, so I do that. Fathers can put a tremendous wind in the sail of their wives and their children. It can last for a long time. I've done a lot of funerals in 15 years of preaching. The biggest crowds come to the people that were the biggest encouragers. The grumpy, irritated, bitter people don't have as many people there at the funeral. It's just the way it is. You know that's true. But there's the long line out the door of people that come up to the front and say, you know, when I was down and out, he came around or she came around and helped me. And I got that card that time, I got that phone call, and I got a little bit of money, sent a check, or knew that I was hurting. He was the coach. He was the teacher. He was the guy at church that taught the class. He was this. He was that. He got me a little bit more down the road. Those are the people that have the respect. Those are the people that are honored because they encouraged. Last word to think about this morning concerning the word father. They're faithful. They're alert. They're tender. They're hopeful. They're encouraging, and lastly, they are respected. The letter R, respected. If you do all those things, of course, you're going to end up a very respected person. It's interesting if you read that last proverb, Proverbs 31, about the virtuous woman. We tend to focus on her life, and verse after verse it says how, you know, we see that as the ideal wife or the ideal woman. But it says something about her husband in there too. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. That's a comment on the reputation of her husband, that a godly woman would have a respectable husband. Said that man is known and respected among the respectable people. Notice what it says, when he sits among the elders of the land. The wiser people around look at him and say, it's a good guy. Not the people on the edges of society. Not those that are worldly people. Not interested in their view of things. What do the godly people say? What do they think of it? Godly fathers are respected. They care about their reputations. I want to end this morning back to where we began in talking about this issue of illegitimacy. Studying for this, looking up some of these things, I came across a couple of paragraphs, and it had a statement in it that sort of stood out to me. And this is written by, this is a secular report. This is written, not written by anybody in the church or a Christian of any sort. Just something about the stats that they've found related to this subject. It says, according to an analysis of government data conducted by the research group Child Trends and reported by the New York Times, the last 20 years have seen illegitimacy among white women in their 20s with some college but not a full 4-year degree rise more quickly than any other groups. While the middle class is seeing a rise in illegitimacy, 59% of all American births are within marriage. 40 or not, 60 are. Indeed, as college graduates and upper class, which have been able to stay within the bonds of tradition and marry prior to reproducing, the Times reported. And listen to this. A number of factors have led to the rising numbers of illegitimacy, which most researchers agree increases a child's risk of emotional problems and falling into poverty, including, as the Times noted, economic factors that have thinned the number of available marriageable men
a larger social safety net, and a more promiscuous society. Why is illegitimacy on the rise? The fewer men that are, they say, available, marriageable, larger social safety net, meaning that women can find income and that support other places, don't really need to have a man around. And then promiscuous society, where women are being pregnant, having children when they didn't plan to, and in a healthy family situation. I want us to notice, however, the statement in that paragraph. It stood out to me. Described, it says, the economic factors that have thinned the number of available marriageable men. That's an interesting statement. Marriageable men. Well, the Bible talks about marriageable men. It doesn't use the phrase, but we mentioned earlier Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to this, verses 25 through 27. And tell me if this is not a description, a Bible description of marriageable men. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. That sounds to me like what the Bible says are marriageable men. That's the kind of person that you honor on Father's Day. Remember a conversation I think I've shared with you before, a conversation I noticed several years ago. There was a man talking about his daughter and a boy that she had recently begun to date. This man, four women, myself, in the conversation. And he was talking about her. And the women in the conversation, they were asking questions about him. They said, you know, who are his parents? Where does he live? Where does he work? How much money does he make? Did he go to college? It went on and on. Everybody in the conversation remembers the church. Every person there is a Christian. This conversation went on for about 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes. Asked him everything in the world. Never once asked the man, is this guy even a Christian? Covered everything else. Question never was asked, not once. These were all Christians. Same conversation could have happened by five unbelievers. We've gotten all the same answers, been interested in all the same things. And by the way, he wasn't. But they're all ready to have a wedding. And we wonder why these statistics are what they are. We wonder why so many churches don't have men around and yet have so many moms trying to do it all. Fathers should be faithful, should be alert, should be tender, should be hopeful, should be encouraging, should be respected. And I'm also thankful that, as Terry mentioned earlier in our devotional before class, that we have an opportunity every week to worship our Heavenly Father, who is better than all the earthly fathers, of course. Who made us, who saved us, who's prepared a place for us, giving us every good and perfect gift. That's who we always worship. That's who we're thankful that we're a child of. If you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never gone to Him, obeyed the gospel,
become a child of God. I encourage you to do that today, not wait any longer. The Lord has done so much for you. Now you need to respond to Him. Say, I want me with the Lord forever in heaven. I want to have my sins washed away, and I know the only way I can do that is by the blood of Christ, when that blood cleanses me, when I've obeyed the gospel. You need to confess Christ, repent of your sins, and put on Christ in baptism. We encourage you to do that today. If you just need prayers, maybe you say, I'm not the father I need to be, or maybe you say, I've didn't have the father I needed, and that's affected my faith. in my life.
Whatever it is, maybe something totally unrelated to anything we're discussing today, but we have an opportunity for you to come forward also and request prayers, and we'll assist you with that. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.